Hump Day, everybody. What do you say, Foyer?
Hello, Lou.
What do you say, Mego?
Let's go.
We got a quick one here.
Yeah, we do.
We think. I'm not quite sure. See if Mother Nature kind of cooperates. But Sox, final game of the year today at 4:10.
Thank God.
You'll hear it right here. So we got a little hour piece for you. What do you think, God? The season's over?
Very honest.
You know what? No. You know, because, you know, you're excited about the rebuild. You're excited about, and, you know, I blame you for this happening right at this point in time because you started reading me some quotes from Quora about the offseason, about what he expects from players, and it completely made me think of the offseason. And I know that we weren't even planning on doing this whatsoever, so I will save it. But I'll say this. I like Cora's approach. I feel like it's going to be aggressive. I think it's going to be in your face.
Okay, good. You just brought it up. So Cora apparently talking to the media. I've been thinking about next season for a while. We have to push hard in the offseason. The excuses of injuries and being young are in the past. That's over. To be honest with you, this season's a big disappointment. We deserve to go home. Well, I guess he identified Verdugo as a player that can take a considerate step forward, said he wants him to, quote, play faster. Says Verdugo seemed to a bit bulked up in pursuit of power and lost some athleticism. So kind of some honesty there. Were we the worst team in baseball? How did that – we're the worst team in baseball, he says. How did that happen?
So mean daddy.
Shots fired.
Push hard in the offseason. Excuses of injuries and being young are in the past. So – I don't know what that means, but pushing hard in the offseason doesn't mean signing a bunch of nobodies.
I feel like you know exactly what that means.
I mean,
this is directed at one. I feel like it was like, all right, I'm no holds barred. I'm not holding anything back. Screw it. Like, it's time for – I'm gonna let the last game of the season be the first time everyone hears how I really feel. Like, going in, and then when we see everybody again, when all this thing starts over again – you can have me on record saying this.
This one, I don't like it. I hate it. We deserve to go home. We should have been able to beat Toronto more than three times. So,
that's a bad one, right?
I don't know if he woke up and just looked outside and
felt
said,
dangerous,
you know,
didn't he?
I don't know.
He woke up feeling honest.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, all right, well, we're not going to do that. We'll
do
that.
A little bit of baseball because some history was made last night that we'll get to a little bit later on in the show. But we want to start off with some football here early on because we want to give you some updates. Obviously, the Pats getting ready to take on the Lions. I'm going to read you from Dan Graziano on ESPN. He said, this time last week, there was some hope in the Patriots building that Mac Jones might be able to tough out his ankle injury and play in week four. That hope has turned out to be misplaced. And checking in there in a week, it sounds as if Jones is unlikely to play in week five as well. Backup Brian Hoyer, hi Mac, had to leave Sunday's game, be checked for concussion, did not return. All of this points to the possibility of Bailey Zappe making his first career start Sunday versus the Lions. Quote, it wasn't too big for him, unquote, is what I'm hearing from the Patriots and Zappe's performance in relief of Hoyer against the Packers last week. So we mentioned this yesterday, and here we are on Wednesday, and it felt like kind of getting our first Mac Jones to starting quarterback or your football team's update. On Wednesday.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it was, remember last Monday? What do you think? What do you think? Tuesday? What do you think? Tightrope. Look up what tightrope is. You know, like, oh, he's standing there. He actually told his teammates, that he, you know, don't count me out yet. And here we are on Wednesday, and it takes Dan Graziano from ESPN to tell us that he's most likely he is out.
Yeah, so I put a call out to a couple guys who, you know, who are around the team, cover the team, and all of them pretty much said the same thing as far as, you know, why they aren't, you know, reporting on the injury like they were last week. I feel like they all got kind of fed up with it. It was a little bit too much, and there was really nothing to see there anyways because it was like he was so
Who's putting it out there, though?
No. The breaking news.
Rappaport last week. Giardi
and Karen on Friday.
Reports.
You know, so I feel like they were all a little too excited to be the first ones to break the news that he is going to play. I think the people who were also talking inside the building – we're probably talking out of turn, and they probably should have shut up, but maybe they got caught up in it also. So now I feel like – so now he didn't speak today, right? No quarterbacks are speaking today to the media.
No QBs this week.
The whole week?
No.
They're not scheduled to talk, I don't think.
Somebody has to talk this week by NFL rules.
Well, I just saw the media, and there was
no
list of it. So like what's coming up the rest
Zappe,
of the week.
It might be Hoyer, but by – By the league agreement, a quarterback has to talk to the media.
How could Bill circumvent that rule?
He'll try.
No, I'm serious.
Could he have Jacoby Myers meet the media?
I mean, Kendrick Bourne's our quarterback.
He's taking a snap under center.
Yeah, I mean, honest to God, I feel like he will circumvent that rule. You won't hear from anyone, even though you're right, but how does he get out of it?
He hasn't before. I mean, look, all I can think about is, and it's not the same case, but with the, it's not like it was open heart surgery.
Yeah.
When Tom Brady tore his thumb up and he had to come out and talk to us.
I'm talking about open heart surgery here.
He pushed that press conference back almost 3 times. He delayed the day he was going, and then he delayed the time to like the very latest time. It was
this
like
is Brady,
5
right?
p.m. Yeah, and he came up to the podium, and it was the most bizarre thing ever because he had changed out of his practice, all his practice gear, but he had the red gloves on.
I was
going
to say, didn't he have
and it was, indoors, yeah. And he came up, and he put his hands up on the podium, and all the cameras started flashing, going up. And we were like, what's with the gloves,
that's
dude?
Amazing.
And he was like, what do you mean? I wear these gloves a lot. I've always wear it. We were like, dude.
Inside?
Inside, yeah, what's going on? So I did see Giardi tweeted out a video of Mac Jones playing catch.
How's he look?
Actually moving. Like, he's not just standing still. He's actually, you know, taking 2 steps back, throwing the ball. He writes, I'm told per source there still remains a fair bit of instability in Mac's ankle. Pat's quarterback at the start of practice still has a limp, not getting up on his toes very much and moving considerably better than Friday, though, when he didn't really move at all. So it does show him, like, remember Friday, he just sort of stood there, feet planted, turned his upper body, and threw a football?
Yeah.
And you're like, he's at practice. And you're like, hold
he's
on.
He's going to play. Danny LaRusso's
like, if you
play.
Saw this last Friday, you would sit there and say, But you didn't.
He's
you know?
Stepping so, very carefully.
He is.
In the videos that I saw from practice in the bubble.
But it's better than standing straight
right,
up.
Right. No, it seems like incremental progress. He's stepping into the throws a little bit, but it still looks very
would you say
careful.
Incremental what?
Incremental progress.
Which is kind of like day by day.
A little
kind of like day by day, right? Like Bill would
bit.
Just say day by day.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I would consider that day by day. So, looks like he's going to be out this week. I don't think it's a surprise to anybody, but I think it would be a surprise if, you know, he's moving okay in this little video. Okay, not great, but I don't know, week 3, week 4? I guess it's in the cards. They didn't put him on the IR. That's all you can really say after week 1, right? They could put him on the IR and brought him back and give him 4 weeks off.
You're saying possibly week 5, week 6, week 7. I'm talking
the
by the NFL schedule because the week by week.
Yeah, I'm talking about him coming back week 3, week 4, as far as like off the injury. He's already missed 2 weeks, maybe 3 week, 4, whatever he comes back.
When's
their
bye week? Is there bye week?
You mentioned Mac Jones having a noticeable limp at practice. Here's Ian Rappaport on what he's hearing of the status of Mac Jones.
Bill can't even get the answers out without laughing at his own non-answers, which I really appreciate that dynamic where he just starts answering and starts laughing at himself before he finishes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Mac Jones is out of practice today. I know Mac Jones is going to try to push to play. I know he believes he can play this Sunday. We'll see if he's able to. And, you know, there was definitely a time last week, late in the week, when he thought he'd be able to play too. Did not end up participating in practice, was not able to play. If he's listed as limited today, I would say at least that means he's got a shot of being out there on Sunday. He is the Patriots starter. You know he was dying out there when Bailey Zappa was going toe-to-toe with Aaron Rodgers. If it is humanly possible for Mac Jones to be out on the field, he will be out there this week. But the fact that he's out there today, probably a good sign.
So there you go. That was like just a minute ago.
Okay, so I always try to, as soon as I hear these things, I try to read, you know, read between the lines and like who's feeding him information. Is it even realistic? Is his name really Bailey Zappa or is it Bailey Zappy? Like nobody knows how to say his
name. We just got the first name down on Monday.
Yesterday.
So.
Yeah, Monday. So the rule used to be in order for you to play in the game, you had to practice 1 out of the 3 days. That used to be the rule. So you could take off Wednesday, Thursday. But on Friday, when we go shells, it's basically a glorified walkthrough. You need to show me that you can at least do that. Because then they kind of figure, okay, practice is done early on Friday. You get all day Saturday off, and then the game's on Sunday. So they assume there's going to be, you know, some improvement. So I can't believe that. I refuse to believe that if he doesn't practice at least one day, at least Friday, there's no chance he's playing.
Right.
Zero chance he's playing.
See, I go back to what he said about, like, that. Mac believes he can play. I think last week, we heard the reports. Like, he was telling his teammates, don't count me out yet. So,
but was he saying, like, hey, man, don't count me out?
No,
hey,
just,
man, don't you count me out, man.
I just don't know if it's like, you know, him just, was it bravado? Just sort of being like, I can play, you know, and then just like, dude, you can't even practice. How can, but I can still play. And they're like, no, You know what I mean?
Like, I do
feel like he's that guy. Right. So I don't know if Rappaport's, because last week, again, those reports, he's telling teammates, don't count me out yet. And he couldn't even move his foot on Friday to step and throw. So for him, for Rappaport to say that Mac Jones believes he can play, I just wonder how much, if he's being realistic at all in that thought process.
May I ask something that might be very stupid?
Of course.
We don't get details. As the media covering the team, you don't get details on the practice report, okay? It says, like, the body...
Yeah, leg injury.
The body area and then the limited participation or whatever. What does a quarterback need to do to be considered even a limited participant in practice?
Because there's a gray area.
Like, we know it's not on Friday.
We like gray areas.
We heard that he was not going to be available for Sunday because he didn't practice, but he was standing in the corner of the field, you know, like a scarecrow just tossing the ball, not even stepping into it. So that doesn't count as practicing. So what is a limited participant? Like, what is the lowest threshold?
Well, it depends. It depends on your coach. It depends on how willing you are to, you know, just create a gray area. So I would say stepping into the huddle, taking a snap, and then sitting the rest of the practice is limited. I was watching practice, and I didn't take any physical reps. Oh yeah, you're limited. Like, you were out there. He's not in any like protective gear. You know, quarterbacks always wear like the little orange or the red jersey. But I could be as any other position. They would put that jersey on them. That meant, listen, don't hit this guy. Stay away from him.
See, when I watch him move right now, just playing catch in this Mike Giardi video that he posted, to me it would be like, can you be under center and in game speed run back and hand the ball off to the running back? You know what I mean? Like, can you do that? If you can't do that, you can't practice, right?
Like, you don't get to be a limited participant for doing, you know, like, dynamic warm-up, right?
Like, no one's going to be hitting
him. Like, doing high knees doesn't make you
a... Right, he doesn't need to, like, get out of a pocket, but at least drop back like you would game speed. And then you could slow it down with the pass. So then you could slow it down with the handoff. But if you can't do that, to me, that wouldn't, you know, doesn't mean anything. So I don't think he's playing this week. And I think him just sort of being like, don't count me out yet, is just like him being like...
Like the tough guy Hardo.
Yeah, well, not Hardo, but I'm just saying, like I could do it. I could do it. Let's hear from Bill Belichick, because he spoke to the media earlier today, giving reports, I guess, on all of his quarterbacks, right, at this point. Go ahead.
Bill, any update on your quarterback situation? Will Bailey be a starter this Sunday?
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Just take it day to day. Just going to use that once a day.
Any update on that?
Use that once.
Yeah, we'll have the injury report for you. Yeah, can't wait to get it out. But just want to make sure it's accurate, so see where things are, you know, in practice.
Is Brian being cleared to practice today?
Yeah, with that injury report, can't wait to get that to you. We'll have all the details there. See where everybody is.
You did say last week that Mac was making, making good progress. Do you still feel that that's the case here this last 5-6 days?
Sure. Yeah, he's definitely made progress.
If Bailey is the starter this week, how beneficial will it be to have the whole week for preparation for him?
Well, he had the whole week of preparation last week. In terms of preparation snaps, and I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I don't know.
Well, so would you? I don't know that answer. It's Bill talking to the media, but Bailey's happy having a better week to prepare. He's like, well, he prepared last week. Yeah, I know. He was Aaron Rodgers most of the week.
But now it's really him.
Now it's actually, he's working with the offensive coaches, putting a game plan together and trying to go out and beat the Detroit Lions. It's a little bit different than saying, hey, go be Aaron Rodgers. Right?
He told us he was running scout last week. That he went about it a similar way as the other week.
Does anybody think that he is running scout team? Like, he's not, like Garrett Gilbert's doing. Gilbert's doing
right. So he's working with the ones. So it is a different week for him.
Probably taking 90% of the reps.
There's no question about it. I do love Bill though. Just, you know, and I can't wait for that injury report to come out. I'll make sure you get one.
I gotta make sure it's accurate.
Can't wait to get that to you.
Boy,
we'll
can't
have
wait.
All the details there.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. Wait till you see the details. I can't wait. It's gonna blow your mind. I tell you, once you see it, it's gonna be insane. You don't want to miss it.
Just want to make sure it's accurate.
Oh, that's the key point.
Yeah, just make sure it's accurate.
Are you sure he's limited?
All right, let's get more into some Patriots here, because an interesting move in Bill Belichick moving practice to indoors. I want to get Fourier's thoughts on that. I thought they loved the outdoors. And also, this team right now is 1-3. Last year's team started off 1-3. They made the playoffs. Do you feel better about this 1-3 start or last year's 1-3? We'll get into that. That's next. The Maloney, Fourier, and Mego. By the way, one more little note here from the Patriots practice. Tyquan Thornton was at practice. So apparently he's practicing today with the team. We were just seeing him kind of doing some drills with the wide receivers. So 21 days, It officially starts today. You have 21 days now to activate the guy. So, I don't know. Maybe he's, he had a schedule. Could he come back next week? Week after? He's got to come. They got 21 days to activate him. So, hopefully he ends up coming back. I wanted to get... Do we have audio of Bill Belichick talking about practice? Now, we know it's raining outside. We know Sunday's going to be nice, right? So, I think they asked him about why he moved practice indoors.
Going inside. Sorry, did you, were you done? Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, I might have jumped the count there. Okay.
No, I just I didn't, you know, I'm glad you did. I was going to go into great depth about the quarterback situation, but since you've got another question about the practice location, let's go to that.
Okay. It sounds like you're scaling it back up, maybe a little more walkthrough today. How much is just going to overtime, the end of overtime part of that, or is it different factors?
Yeah, I think it's just kind of the quality of the last, you know, couple games. So, felt like just the best thing to do today.
Was it quantity or quantity of the last two games, or quality, like the?
Well, just overall, what's best for a football team? Let's put it that way. That's the bottom line.
Tied to quarterback at all? If you have
to. Overall, what's best for the football team? It's what it always is.
So, a good follow up by Mike. Was it? Did you say because of the quality of the last two football games, or moving inside?
Yeah. So then. Mike Reese clarified there, followed up saying quality or quantity?
Well, give me quantity.
Quantity of the last two games, or quality, like the...
Well, just overall, what's best for a football team.
I mean, it can't be quantity. Like, how would that make sense? Quantity. You played two games the last 2 weeks like you do every single week.
He had three plays in overtime.
Right. So we played extra football.
Two runs and a pass.
So quality last 2 weeks, the reason why they're inside. Now, you know, listen, this has like been Bill speaking. You know, we always talk about like things he said in the past. You know, you come back and you kind of revisit him. He always talks about why it's great when you get weather like this to play outside. You know, because you can't plan the weather. And if you have opportunities to practice in the rain, there's going to be rain games here throughout the year. Then you take advantage of those days. But yet today he's like, no, we're not going to. It's going to be sunny on Sunday, so we want to practice indoors?
Yeah, okay, so here's what I have learned when it comes to whether or not they're practicing inside. So, yeah, of course, like sometimes, you know, we're just going to practice outside, but... If it is rainy and windy and nasty outside, usually the practices are worse. Guys are slipping around. They're not as focused. It's just not a great environment to practice. If it's going to be sunny and decently a nice fall day on Sunday, he wants the most, you know, he wants the best, you know, circumstances for practice. He wants a dry field. He wants a fast track because that's what it's going to be like on Sunday. So why should I go out and practice and have the ball flop all over the ground, have to redo plays because people are, you know, can't hold on to the football?
Yeah, but you know what his answer would be? Well, next week we might play in the rain. And if I get an opportunity to practice in the rain, it might help me next week. That's the answer he's given in the past.
Okay, but his answer also might be, that's next week. This week we're focused on
This is 100% focused on.
I mean,
there's certain reasons why.
You
practice outside. We've practiced outside in crappy weather because of a punishment. Legit punishment.
Yeah.
You suck. I'm going to make you practice in the rain, even though it was terrible. To get ready for the environment. Practice in the stadium the same way. But if it's going to be nice... I don't think he wants anything to do. I think he wants his young quarterback to have the best environment. So why would I put my quarterback and have him practice with crappy weather, waste a rep because someone slips or falls down?
See, I agree. If it was Mac Jones, I think they're outside. If they're Mac Jones, because they would say it's supposed to be nice on Sunday. Why are you practicing today? And he would give you that answer I just gave you because I've heard it before. Well, it's nice this Sunday, but, you know, can't predict the weather. It could rain next week. We take advantage of it and practice in this crappy weather. But because it's Bailey Zappi, he doesn't want the young rookie in his first week preparing to be a starter throwing the ball all over the place and losing confidence.
Well, and just losing, you know, learning opportunities. Okay, you run the play, this guy slips. It's sometimes it's better to have great conditions in order to get the best out of the practice.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, there's obviously opportunities, you know, no matter what, we're going outside today. Okay. And then the next day they would go inside. Mm. So at least you have one opportunity to practice when it's cold.
So I wanted to ask you guys this because I feel like it's a more victory week, right? We talked about that Monday and Tuesday.
Week.
Yeah, it's a more victory week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday before we move on to Detroit. So, Kvorea hates it. He hates the idea of the moral victory. Yep. It's a loser mentality. A year ago today, after week four, we came in on a Monday when the Patriots lost 19-17 to the Tampa Bay Bucks, and that was a moral victory Monday. Losing the Tampa Bay Bucks at home, 19-7. They just won the Super Bowl. It's Tom Brady coming home. He didn't play great. Your defense looked good against him. So last year, after week four, both moral victory Mondays, both years 1-3. Do you feel better or worse about this 1-3 football team than you did last year's?
You want me to start?
Go ahead.
All right. I feel better.
What?
I feel better.
Wait, you changed your mind. Why do you feel better?
Because I broke it down. I took some notes.
All right.
I was trying to put myself in the place I was after week four of last year. After that Bucks game, which, by the way, like at that point that we were in the season, it already felt like we had gone through like this season because everything was leading up to that Tom Brady mm-hmm. showdown. I think we all forget like the hangover we had after that all. Like, oh my God. When I look back, your team last year looked way worse against the Saints than you did against any of these teams so far. I think you've played significantly stronger teams so far this season than you did compared to this stretch last year, where you gave up the first game, you coughed it up to the Dolphins, you stomped the Jets, which didn't mean anything. They were horrible. You looked really bad against the Saints, and then you lost to the Bucks. You stayed tight with it, and that was a really unusual game with really unusual emotional circumstances, and I'm sure that Bill Belichick game planned the hell out of it. And now when I look ahead, I feel better because the fatty part of your season, at least on its face, looks a lot kinder than last year's middle section where you were able to make that run. Now, you caught some breaks with injuries on other teams and like with Tennessee last year, and that stuff came a little further. I'm looking at the next six games. So this year you go Lions, Browns, Bears, Jets, Colts, who might be good, might be kind of in the same plane that you are, if not better, and then Jets. Last year, you ran through the Texans, who you almost lost to. Mm-hmm. You had to come back against with your man, Davis Mills, Periscope High idol. then you had the Cowboys, who that was like the truest moral victory to me. That felt very similar to Sunday's game. Then you had the Jets, who, of course, lay up last year.
But Chargers, who were a lot tougher, but after week four, Panthers
and Browns.
You felt better about this team.
You're saying, how do I feel? Yeah, I feel better about this team now than I did at this time last year.
See, I can't. I mean, first off, your starting quarterback is down. See, last year, that 1-3 start, I would agree. You coughed up the game against the Dolphins, all that stuff. And there's more victory after Tampa Bay. But you still had a young quarterback that you sat there and didn't know much about. And you said, okay, we're going to learn more. And your hope was that he's going to get better. You still had all these high-priced free agents that you were still excited about at that time. Remember, listen, before that New Orleans game, Jonnu Smith was better than Hunter Henry the first two, but you had Aguilar, and I could see what he is. You had Bourne. You had these two tight ends. You had two good young running backs. You had Matthew Judon was sacking everybody. And as much as that 1-3 start didn't feel good, you still felt like, okay, I'm still trying to figure out what they are. And more importantly, I'm going to see what this kid looks like. This year, does anybody want to see what Bailey Zappe looks like?
You said the other day that you did.
No, I'm
you
just
said you were intrigued to watch Bailey Zappe.
Oh, I am.
For the
as
next
a fan, I absolutely 100% am. But as far as chances of winning football games, like I'll be entertained by Zappe, but I was more entertained watching a young quarterback, Mac Jones, that went 15th overall than this kid. Like, I don't have the same optimism, you know, or same intrigue or thinking they could turn it around with this team like that last year's team. I don't know how I could feel better about this year's team than last year's team.
I mean, there's so many other, just offensive standpoint, you had a very important, smart, established, offensive coordinator. Like in Josh McDaniels, like you had that guy running your offense. So right off the bat, you're in a better position. I just felt like your offensive line was better. They were more motivated. Like Isaiah Wynn was still playing left tackle. He wasn't all upset. You didn't have a rookie playing left guard. I mean, so there were so many different – you still had Hightower, you still had Jamie Collins, you had all these linebackers that were basically in their last year. There were so many different reasons why last year I felt better about. This year, 100% worse.
Well, let me ask, because I'm curious, Patriot fans, do you feel better about this year's team, 1-3, or last year's team, 1-3? 617-779-7937.
Can I get a little backup here?
Go ahead.
Sure.
Since it's, you know – 2-1 right now.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I'm calling in a little backup.
You phoning a friend?
Yes. Boomer Esiason. He just looked at the. He's like, what? Tyler chiming in. Boomer Esiason was on the Greg Hill show, and he's got my back on this. Okay. Let's hear him.
I do look at their next five opponents, and they can beat each of these five opponents with Bailey Zappe as quarterback. Because I do believe that they can run the ball. They can play really solid defense. You know, you're talking about, I guess, Detroit, Cleveland, Chicago, the Jets, and the Colts. And each of those teams has their own sets of issues. And the interesting thing, next Sunday when they play Detroit, they'll be playing the worst defense in the NFL. I would think Bailey Zappi's going to be under center until Mac Jones comes back.
Okay, so I feel like you were in the same. You were a better team last year at this time. You were a better team. You had more better veterans. You had more established players. You had even you guys had all these free agents. You knew eventually they were going to figure it out. And you
but
had
they
a rookie.
Didn't.
Okay, we're talking about it. We're not talking about the end of the year.
I
so
know.
Hunter Henry
it's
figured
like,
it out.
You may have felt better. Week, you said you knew at, they were going to figure
when you were
it
one
out,
and three,
they
you,
didn't.
Week four. And you also had you were also looking at the same type of scenario as we are now with the teams. Like, you're looking at the teams that you were going to play. You're like, okay, that's a win. That's a win. Rookie quarterback, rookie coach.
We didn't feel that way last year. We looked at this and we said, I would say media looked at this and said, Cowboys, that's legit.
Chargers,
that's going to be legit.
It beat up on the Chargers.
Browns, like, at the time.
Disaster.
I'm saying when we were in week four. You're looking at this all in hindsight.
No,
and that's
I'm
why
not.
This exercise
I'm
is impossible.
I'm not looking. No, you're just trying to use this as a way to, like, to defend
I'm just trying
your,
to find
choice,
out, like,
which is, it is, it's not an argument. Like,
I really
just
believe
you
Bill
feel.
Wants to win a lot of games this year.
He was very positive, but I'm just talking about, like, rather like the road ahead. I'm just talking about your football team after week four.
Well, I can't separate the team from the situation that they're in. If you're asking me how I feel about the team, it's based on the schedule, what they're seeing in the next
based
six
on
weeks.
Moving forward, what their schedule is.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'd be more concerned about it because, you know, I actually think this is an awful time because I forget who it was. Somebody wrote it in the Globe today. They said, like, you know, if you have a quarterback problem, you got to go with third string quarterback. Now's a good time to do it, given your stretch that you're in. I think it's an awful time for this to happen. Because these are the games you're supposed to win. If anything, I would rather have a third-string quarterback going up against Aaron Rodgers in Lambeau. Or later on in the year, going through a tough stretch, you know, in games that I don't, you know, in Buffalo. Like, okay, because with Mac or without Mac, you're not going to beat the Bills. So, like, have a backup quarterback there. I don't want a backup with these four, five, six games coming up that you should be winning. You should be, you know, if you're a good football team, taking four or five of these games. I think now is actually a worse time to have a backup quarterback in charge of this organization for a while.
So here's the question, right? I think it's as simple as this. Did you think they were, after the first four games of the season, did you still think they were a playoff team?
Last year?
Yeah.
No.
I did.
I did.
I thought last year's team was a playoff team.
I didn't think that they were a playoff team until they started stacking a couple wins.
Yeah,
I really didn't. I didn't. I thought that it was just a developmental year.
No, I didn't see it that way. I don't think this team is a playoff team. Like, now, before the season started.
Yeah.
Last year, but it shouldn't be. Like, this year, this is the year you should be, like, playoff team. Injuries out of your control, development, coaching issues, development issues. Last year, I thought they were a playoff team. Even though they were 1-3, I was like, okay, they're going to figure this out. They have a lot of good players. They have a really good coaching staff. They had a really good coaching staff. All those guys are still there. Like, just by the fact that Josh is gone, his quarterback coach is gone, and you have just a whole new setup. Just off the bat, it's the worst situation for me.
If we're talking about last year, I didn't have any expectations of anything in playoffs for this team. It probably until they won that Chargers game, and Mac didn't even look good in that Chargers game. That was like his worst performance in the season thus far in that game. So I'm just trying to put myself in the mindset I was last year, and I think I was just very skeptical of the team they were last year.
All right, let me go to the calls. Let's go to Jim in Melrose. Go ahead, Jim. You're on.
Hi, guys. I appreciate it. Mago's got the right idea, and she's kind of looking back on the year. Lou, not to pick on you, but I don't think you realize how pessimistic you can be and how much you were last year. You were talking about Belichick fighting for his job, and they were 1-3 with the 7-9 year before, the bad decision with Cam, and now you're saying, oh, I'm much more pessimistic than last year. It's like you couldn't have been much more pessimistic last year.
Jim,
so,
I told you they're going to win. Jim, hold on. Number one, I never called for his job. Number two, I told you they're going to win 10 games.
He was fighting for his job.
Nope, never said that. Nope, wrong guy. Never said he's fighting for his job.
No, not wrong guy. You were saying that you thought that
I could be critical.
Whether or not he should continue to be their head coach in the future if they have a bad year.
No, never said that. You got the wrong show. I could be critical of him, and the minute I make any kind of criticism, that's where you probably take it. But, Jim, I told you they were going to win 10 games last year.
You were more pessimistic this year than last year?
Yes, I think they're going to win 7 games, Jim. Like,
they won 10.
I told you they were going to win 10. This year I think they're going to win 7. That means more pessimistic about this year than last year. It's math.
I think you need to look back, but that's great. I'm glad.
Hey, good for you.
I have never called for Bill Belichick's job,
ever. No, I don't think you have.
I have told you, like last you. Year, the criticism was, it looks like a poorly coached football team.
And they did. They had a ton of penalties.
And
up to that
they
point.
Did. Thank you, Mego. But people would lost their minds. When, oh, it's Bill Belichick. Yeah, you know more than him. It was a poorly coached football team last year, the beginning of the season, probably the first six, and the last five. That's the most of the year.
They like, looked like they were going through some weird adjustments, mm-hmm. I yeah. would say, at that time. Yeah. I was like,
growing
what
pains.
Is the, exactly. It looked like a bunch of guys in Patriots uniforms yeah. who hadn't played Patriots right. football. Yeah.
But I never called for Belichick's job, nor am I. I'm not now. I think he's just surrounding himself with poor coaches. Anthony, go ahead. Good, Bill. Anthony, you're on, buddy.
Hello?
Yeah,
hey.
Go ahead.
Hey, I'm just calling to back up my boy Christian on last year because I remember clearly him coming out of the Bucks game and saying, rattling off the next six wins, he said, yeah, we could beat the Browns. Well, you could beat the Browns. You could beat the Chargers. And I couldn't believe it. They actually did it. So, I mean, I remember him pretty much kind of backing up and saying that, yeah, they were a better team last year. And I do believe they're a better team last year as opposed to this year. This year, their offense looks like they don't have a clue what's going on half the time. So, yeah, that's my boy. That's my,
yeah, that's right, my boy Anthony right there.
I think he
makes you sound like an oracle. I remember what you said after that Bucks game, Christian.
I do think you came in on Monday and said you feel better about them. Was that you
yeah.
that said you feel like you're more convinced now?
Yeah, they're going to be good.
Or was that Wiggy?
I don't know. Now you're going to have him go back in time, the hot tub time machine.
If the New England Patriots were a boat.
Just an analogy that you made around this time last year.
What was the analogy, though? If they were both.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wait, hold on.
Let me hear it.
When was this from?
This is mid-October of last year.
Mid-October, maybe after they beat Houston or after
I
they lost to Dallas?
I remember Anthony was saying. I think it was something to the effect of, you know, look at this schedule. They can win five out of the next
six. Hold on.
Six.
Before you play this,
yes.
let's take a guess.
Okay.
Wait.
Oh, if the Patriots are a boat. Were they the Titanic?
I bet this is what it's going to be. It's going to be something like there's a certain amount of holes, leaks in the boat, but they can get to the other side.
I can't wait because I don't know what this is.
Here's the thing. Me neither.
You don't remember?
No.
All right, let's hear the analogy last October.
If the New England Patriots were a boat and you were stuck in this boat.
Here we go.
And you know your boat has issues and it looks like it may sink, but you know what? You're proud of your boat. You built it and you put a lot of effort and time into it. Coast Guard boat comes by and says, hey, you know what? Seas are going to get rough. Your boat doesn't look that good. You should probably let me tow you in. Would you say yes? Or would you take your chances and just the fact that you may die?
No. I've been to 9 Super Bowls and I've won all these things and I can fix it. Uh-huh.
No, you're screwed. So I don't know. That's my analogy of the day.
So ask for help from the Coast Guard.
I don't think that's what I meant.
Rather than staying in the boat and letting it sink, watching it sink.
That sounded like an NFL Sunday show. Yeah. You guys could be talking about
that. Yeah, well, that was definitely NFL Sunday.
I think that was actually an excerpt from Sunday Morning Quarterback.
No, that was our Sunday pregame
show. No, you're screwed. So, yeah. I don't know. That's my analogy of the day.
All right, I like that. All right, listen, I'm curious to get more thoughts on you guys, whether how you feel about this 1-3 team. Better or worse than last year's 1-3 team? 617-779-7937. Last night, history was made with one Aaron Judge. We'll talk a little bit because there was some serious reaction around the country. We'll do it next. Well, he finally did it yesterday. I was wondering if Aaron Judge was going to hit 62 or if he was going to just sort of sit on 61. But in the second game of the doubleheader off of the starter Jesus Tinoco, Aaron Judge hit number 62, and this is what it sounded like from one John Sterling.
Here's the 1-1. Swung on.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record. Aaron Judge hits his 62nd. All the Yankees out of the dugout to greet him. Just think of it. 3 Yankee right fielders. The Babe hitting 60 and 27. The Jolly Roger hitting 61 and 61. And now Aaron Judge hits his 62nd home run, the most home runs any American leaguer has hit in a single season. And the American League has been alive for 120 years. This is Judgment Day. Case closed.
I do like that. 61 years later, actually, on 61. He hit 62. Case closed. I like the call.
I like case closed. Mm-hmm. I wish he would have just left it at case closed instead of throwing Judgment Day.
This is Judgment Day. Case closed.
So case closed. Okay, I'm going to break this down real quick. My grade of this.
Here we go. Here comes the reporter.
So he has two. He inserts two different puns in there back to back. And you just can't do that. It makes it too cute. Mm-hmm. Makes it too cute, and it loses the impact of both of them. Both of them lose
less
the impact.
Less is more?
Yeah. You go, oh, Judgment Day. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then he follows up with case closed. And you don't go, yes! You go, why didn't he just say case closed?
It does seem like he had two really good ending like little puns.
He had two ideas, and he tried to cram them. He's like, you know what? Yeah. I gotta use them both.
And I felt like he ran out of steam too, because he wasn't like case closed. It was like case closed.
He should have just let it breathe for a second.
Case closed.
See, he's like dying at the end. Case closed.
Yeah.
Case closed.
Swung on that. There it goes.
First off, the reaction. I mean, like the delay. You hear the crack of the bat,
mm-hmm.
and then the fans go.
Here's the 1-1. Swung on. There it goes.
Swung on. There it goes.
Well, you know why, though, right?
Well, because of his past. He doesn't because want to screw that up. Yeah.
Can you imagine if he missed it? He's like, that's no big deal.
Yeah, fly ball to center.
Yeah, oh, it's going to drop.
But isn't that why you do the leading? Like, you're charting
There's
it all excitedly. And that's it. Instead of just the dead air.
Now, what did I do wrong?
Imagine
what
did I say wrong? On 62. Oh, that would be awful. So
he's at first base.
I'm curious how you guys feel about this. I think it's the American League home run record. Barry Bonds owns the home run record. Like, and I don't know. I mean, I witnessed it myself too in 03, what he did to the sport. Like, he is the home run king. He hit 73. I am sorry. You know, and this goes back to like Hall of Fame voting, where I don't assume anything, even though in the back of my mind, I might think some stuff. I can't do that. Okay, everybody just played. Every pitcher's on steroids, hitter's on steroids, whatever. I can guarantee you that in 1999, if Aaron Judge hit 62 home runs and the guy that finished second was hit 39 and he hit 23 more home runs than the second place finisher, it'd be red flags and people locally and nationally would be questioning it. Now, they pretend like it's nothing big. I think it's legit. I'm not saying Judge, I think, is on anything. But all these people that assume, you know, that this person was on it, that person was on it. And it's not just the big three, it's everybody else. Hell, David Ortiz, he had his whole career in testing of steroids. They still question that because of some list that you don't even know the reasons why he was on a list.
When you say
so this kid had 62, 23 more than anybody else, and those people aren't even bringing it up, which... Well,
when you say those people, are you talking about media?
Shaughnessy,
essentially the crowd who's saying Judge's record is more legit than Bonds'.
Right. How do we know? I don't know. I don't care. It's 62. It's an American League record. I don't care.
Well, here's the thing, though.
You're not scientists. You don't know what's out there. You don't know what's going on.
It
so just sit back and appreciate.
Feel, better. It does feel, I don't know, just
think pure. It feels better.
I do. I do feel like it's like there's a little bit more respect with him. I think people look at him a little bit differently, especially the baseball purists, and they're all over the place.
Because you don't think he's a cheater.
Reporters.
No, I think he did it like legitimately, and there were so many red flags. That's really, if the baseball writers, like, because they vote for, you know, All-Star, they vote for Hall of Fame, right? Mm-hmm. Those guys, those same guys, the Bob Costases of the world, those are the same guys that vote for the Hall of Fame. Those are the guys that are really the gatekeepers for all this information.
The reporters?
Yeah.
I don't want to honor that.
Unfortunately, and if they are, then don't let them vote for a Hall of Famers. Don't let them do that. Get them out of there. But these are the guys that take the time with the stats and the numbers and the this and the that, and they romanticize the sport.
I didn't think we wanted them to vote.
No, I hate them all.
So there you go.
My point is, but still, that's who you have.
That's very rude.
But that is who you have. So,
well, I'm saying Cora's a purist, I would imagine.
Right? You think Cora looks at Judge a little bit differently than he does McGuire?
We had Cora last week, and he sat there and said, Judge, no, it's not. It's a great season, but what I saw Barry Bonds do was amazing. And he went on and on about what he saw from Barry Bonds.
He didn't walk 900 times. Yeah,
he was on steroids, and he was hitting everything. So they had to
and he crushed it.
Anything close, he was on still both
one
up on steroids.
One pitch a night out of the ballpark. It was ridiculous. And I think that happened. Like, it really did.
Well, and the other thing
the
is,
movie.
Like, Aaron Judge, former tight end.
Oh, that's why you like it.
Former tight end.
That's why you like it.
No,
he just
what do you,
like that he gets like cool nicknames. All Rise.
It is pretty impressive, though.
Let me go to a call here because some people, Deuce PK says it's more legit than Barry. Go ahead, Deuce.
Hey, Lou, two questions for you.
Yeah.
I know you just answered it because you're adamant that Bonds did get the record.
Yeah.
But the ball itself that was caught, do you think it has more value today than Barry Bonds' ball, Maguire's ball? Because everybody thinks this is more legit of a home run?
I don't think so, because I think that those two guys are still considered more famous.
I don't know the value. I saw that somebody, first off, the guy that caught it is like a hedge fund manager of some billion-dollar company. Like, you know, the guy that caught, and I heard the offer was for $2 million.
Well, come on.
I don't know what Bonds' ball is worth. I don't judge how I feel based on how much a ball is worth. Barry's the home run king. He hit 73.
He sounds like a socialist over here.
Yeah. I'm not.
Okay.
So Bonds number 73 was sold for $450 back in June of 2003. I imagine that's doubled, tripled, quadrupled in that 20 years since it was sold.
See, I have a whole different approach on this. Like, I don't know what you guys would do. I put myself in this situation. I would give it right back to him, expecting nothing.
$2 million?
Wow, you're such a good
guy. If he wants to, then go ahead. If he wants to give me, like, I don't want the ball. It's yours.
You sell it for a million?
The way this guy was parading around, like he accomplished anything because he was in the right place at the right time, is embarrassing. He just happened to get a ticket. The ball comes right freaking to him, and they're videotaping him walking through the concourse like he's this, this hero returning from battle.
I actually like the guy that jumped off the wall into the bullpen. Did you see that? That's like, commitment. Oh, he just missed him. Like, no, it's a brilliant move. You saw what happened with 61, right, at Yankee Stadium. You're sitting there saying, if this thing is hit, I'm jumping into that bullpen, and I don't care if I get arrested, whatever.
But
the ball
the
will bail me out, because if this guy up there misses it, I'm going to get it.
So here's something.
Brilliant.
So, judge isn't paying him anyways, right? Like, it's either Major League Baseball or it's the Yankees who are paying him. Like, Judge isn't, putting his hand in his pocket and paying this guy $2 million. So, well, whatever.
No, some collector's going to pay the guy $2 million because he wants it. That's kind of like where it's
coming. I always feel like the rules shouldn't allow these guys to keep these historic, souvenirs. They belong to the person who accomplished it, not some yahoo that just happened to be in town and decided to go to a game. Mm-hmm. That's embarrassing. Let's change that.
Okay. Wow, that is incredibly anti-fan.
In this point in time, yes. Can you imagine if you had some unbelievable milestone and some yahoo who just came in from Albuquerque just happened to grab your lacrosse ball of your 5,000?
Give me back my binky.
You'd be angry. You'd be angry.
Oh, give me my ball back.
Oh, 100%. If it was old school, old school justice, I would go back there and rip it out of his hands. Here's my ball, boy.
All right, listen, there's more calls. You guys are lined up, as well as the question we asked earlier to someone who wants to talk about that, too. 22, both years, New England Patriots start off 1-3. Which team do you feel better about? And Judge's home run. Is it legit? Is he the true home run king? 617-779-7937.